And here we are back at... I don't even know where we're back to. Oh my gosh. Is it Back to the Future? I don't know. These clowns want us to think our future is screwed. But hopefully you've been inspired by some of these things and actions that we can take in part one. And here we go in part two, more with medical researcher John Lukacs, who has a very creative mind, sense of humor, and big kahunas. Let's go check out what John has to say. Thanks for joining us today. And we're back with part two. This is Lonnie Ray with John Lukacs. John, welcome back to the show.
Good to see you.
Good to have you on How to Deal with a Dumbass. A proper show for someone like you who knows how to handle some of the stupid shit people are doing so that we can become stand-up guys in our own lives. Because every little bit makes a difference, one way or the other. So what do you suggest people do, John?
Well, last time we were going over some civilly disobedient strategies. I've got plenty more. So
great. Let's do some more civil disobedient strategies.
Okay. Well, let's talk about people that, you know, that like to fade into the crowd, right? So maybe you're not very physically intimidating, or you just don't want to be, you know, pointed out. You want to get something done, but you want to be a little sneaky about it. I would suggest, for little old ladies and 80-pound females and whoever else is, gun shy at the thought of being an activist, you can print up stickers. You know, like kids have these stickers that they get from somewhere, usually from a machine. What I'm thinking of, requires that you go to a printer or something, but you can print off 1,000 stickers for a few bucks, right? And they could just be little dots. And you can come up with things to put on these dots, and very simple things like, vaccines are deadly, COVID vaccines are deadly, or COVID is bullshit, or whatever, just little 3-word slogans you can think of, and just walk around and put them places, stick them everywhere people look. And you can put them on signs. I mean, you can do this very covertly. Nobody will notice. I mean, half the time when I go around ripping entire posters off doors, nobody bothers me. Nobody says anything. Nobody even sees it most of the time. I like to be seen doing it. I like people to see me do it. And I'm not concerned with, somebody charging me with vandalism or destruction of property or anything like that, because I'm typically gone before they can even say an objection about it. That'll be your experience too. I mean, unless you're ripping the labels off the police station. I've done this in the post office, and I'm not even concerned with being on camera doing it. But, I deal with this mass crap in local post offices. Sometimes I got to go in there and mail out a package. And where I'm at, nothing works because it's the government, right? So the scales don't work and the machines don't work and the stamps, you can't mail out anything after hours, even if it's a kiosk, because it's all broken. So I got to go in there. And, I get this horseshit from some of these people and I don't follow it. I don't abide by any of it. And if they give me a bunch of shit, I'll go around and just rip off everything in the post office. And there's a lot of COVID signage in a post office. I mean, you can fill a book with all the stuff, and a lot of it's laminated and some of it is, on the floor where, I can't get those stickers off the floor that say, "Hey, stand here, fool." But, I don't really care, but, but I'm not concerned with being on some surveillance system doing that. If you're concerned about it, wear a mask and do it.
Right.
Because that's what masks are for. They're for crime. So if you're going to be a criminal, go ahead, mask up, wear your sunglasses and your ball cap or your Chewbacca Halloween costume or whatever the hell you got to do. But,
it's funny.
Be a dick about this. Crime, huh? Yeah. So I like the guys that, and I see this every once in a while, they disrupt media taping. So, if you're watching the news, you're watching, fantasy, right? There's nothing that you're going to see on a television screen that it bears any resemblance to reality. It's all propaganda. I'm not going to prove that to you. You prove it to yourself. That's your job. But I can tell you that that's the case. So when I see a reporter out there, whatever they're doing, especially if they are saying anything pandemic related, up in Canada, I've seen a lot of people do this where, you know, the media will be covering a pop-up tent that's vaccinating random children as they come out of school.
No.
And the parents will form a line and a mob. Sometimes there's a lot of them, and they will scream and holler and disrupt the activities of the pop-up tent and protest and try to save the children, because they're not doing this. They're doing this for an ice cream cone or something, you know, and there's very little distinction between this and the pedophile that offers them a lollipop. So a lot of times you'll have a media event outside one of these vaccination centers or COVID testing centers or any of that, where they're promoting it on the 6 o'clock news that evening. Well, disrupt it. Don't let them tape, you know, fuck up their efforts and make a move down the street, you know, and keep doing it. And I've seen a lot of guys do this. Well, they will harass them and they will stop that stuff from getting taped.
Good.
You know, if you're going to pull that stunt, keep it in your studio. Don't come out here and do it, because we're not going to put up with it as people.
I'm glad to hear that. You know, people seem to forget how very quickly we will never come for your children. And damn if they're not.
Yeah.
You know?
That, yeah. And no. I mean, if you see a lot of this going on, you know, you could prepare it with some props or whatever. You know, you could just walk behind them with a sign, you know, that says whatever you want it to say, that is, that'll have to be edited out. Right. You know, but I, you know, being who I am, I would just walk right up to the newscaster and say, go away, you know, stop filming. Don't film this shit here. As long as I'm here, I'm not going to let you.
There were a couple of hillbillies who hooked up their tow truck to the tent sides and just pulled the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, that takes some steel balls, and, you know, I know a lot of guys that wouldn't have a problem with it, and, you know, I'm probably one of them, but I've done some things that I'm not going to talk about because they are really illegal and I don't want to get busted.
Yeah. It ain't about that. It's
don't get locked up doing stuff, but you know, cause who knows what happens in the jail, right? They might have six officers and a nurse ready to give you a COVID shot just to be in the jail with other prisoners. You don't want to be in that situation because you're not going to win.
No, that's not what we're advocating here, but there are ways, like you said, to civil disobedience, disrupting, excuse me, that can make a difference, and interrupting media taping is a great idea. Why not?
Yeah.
You know, find your voice, guys. A couple of years ago, I made a post about use your voice before you can't. And I had a picture of tape over somebody's mouth, and I got a lot of flack from people. And they're like, it's not that bad. What's your problem? You're just fear mongering. I said, you apparently can't read the writing on the wall. Because this really is what they're trying to do, is silence you. And you're coming at me for bringing that up to your attention? That's messed up.
Yeah. I mean, the website that I post my blog on is an old business website. It was an actual business at a time. And COVID pandemic crap just destroyed it. And I was pretty mad. So most of what motivated me to get started and start walking down this path was, you know, losing my livelihood. And I mean, imagine if you're a home improvement contractor, because that, you know, was a thing I did, handyman stuff, you know, fix your house, build stuff. Now I'm having to deal with customers that, you know, won't, I mean, you know, as a contractor, you got to go in, you got to like run down an estimate of materials and work orders and things like that. And they won't meet with you because they're afraid you're going to give them something. Right. And so I'm trying to conduct business through storm doors. And, you know, I just stopped doing it. I was just like, you know what, unless you're going to come out here like a normal human being, as if none of this stuff happened, and just, you know, take care of business, I'm not your guy. I don't want to fix your shit. I want you to just suffer. And you know what I mean? I don't deal with this. And you have to spend a lot of time in Home Depot or Lowe's or something getting materials for stuff. And Home Depot tried to have me arrested a couple of times. I remember when this stuff began, and there was a limit on the number of people that could be in the store at one time. Yeah. And the local Home Depot that I would go to all the time had a line practically around the building of people waiting to be let in, like 5 and 10 at a time. And they'd have to be temperature checked by some guys that were dressed up like mercenaries standing at the door and all this shit. So, you know, I started, you know, just loudly complaining in the line. And because I was surrounded by COVIDiots that were complying with this nonsense, that wasn't very effective. So I just tried walking past them. I just cut the line and I went into the store. Right. And, you know, I would be stopped and they'd be like, no, there's the line and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, normally there's like three or four guys, you know, trying to prevent me from just doing what I was trying to do. And I found it was difficult to get past them. So one time I brought a bunch of my bumper stickers and a reversible jacket, and I ran past them and I made them chase me through the whole Home Depot. And I was going up and down lines and they were trying to find me, the lanes there, the various aisles. And I was sticking these bumper stickers everywhere. Right. And, you know, when they, and I put the reversible jacket on. So, you know, I was blue when I went in, now I'm red. And then, you know, then I'm just slowing down and I'm just trying to blend in with whoever's there, but there's not much to blend in with because they only allow like 100 people in a big warehouse. So, so eventually they find me and I'm like, all right, well, and I did this right before closing. And I said, yeah, I'll leave, but, you're not leaving because you got to find all these stickers that I put everywhere and remove them. And I'm not telling you where they are.
You know. That's a good one.
Another time I just, like I've noticed that the intelligence quotient amongst Home Depot employees has been going down steadily, but now it's at an all time low. These people can't find their ass with both hands. So it used to be that you could go into a Home Depot and, hey, I want to know where to buy a padlock. And they would tell you what aisle, what section, what side, and how many shelves down it was from the ceiling or up from the floor or something. I mean, they'd tell you exactly, like, this was part of the test. Now these guys don't even know what a padlock is. I mean, it's that bad. I don't know where they're getting them from, but they are so stupid. If you're listening to a Home Depot employee give you advice on a product that you're there to buy, you know, you'll go in looking for a pair of pliers and leave with a freezer. They just don't know anything. They don't know where anything is. And so, you know, I went in there and they had a mask rule around this time and I had to get some toilet parts, right? So this is for my own house. So I'm in there and I'm looking at the toilet aisle, the toilet parts aisle, and I'm trying to pick a flapper or something that fits my toilet. And this guy, you know, is standing behind me masked up and I'm asking him for some advice. And another guy comes over with a mask on his face and he has one in his pocket and he wants me to put it on. So he's handing it to me and it's like, what is that? He's like, oh, you have to wear this when you're in the store. I took it from him. I dropped it on the floor and I stepped on it. And I said, got anything else you want to tell me? And he pulled another one out of his pocket. And I'm like, dude, I don't know where that's been. I'm not putting that on my face. All right. No, it's fine. It's sterile. I said, first of all, I'm not going to bother trying to educate you, but for everybody else, those things are filled with flatworm parasites that are activated by your breath. I've got microscope photos of them. They're in most of the brands. Plus the filtering material on that cannot filter what they think you're protecting yourself from. It's like throwing sand through a chain link fence. And if that was even the concern here, is that filtering material has, you know, it has a sheddable substance that gets in your lungs and it behaves very similarly to asbestos fibers. So, you know, I'm not putting this on my face, but I, you know, I don't need to give this guy a whole education on what it is he's asking me to do. I just refuse to do it. So I got my toilet part. He's pestering me. He won't stop talking. And he's trying to get me to, you know, like leave the store. I just ignore him. So I walk off and I go down the paint aisle to get something else that I need. And he's following me. And I realize he's following me. So I start, you know, doing a little counterintelligence shit, you know, so I'll walk up an aisle and then back down the other aisle and I'll purposely make him, you know, chase me. Right. And he's trying to do it surreptitiously. And I don't know what he's up to, but he's just tracking me. Right. So then, you know, I reverse direction. I come around and he's coming around the corner at the same time. And I caught him and I went nose to nose. I was like, are you following me? Oh, no. Sure. Looks like you're following me. Okay. And so, you know, I went about my business and there he was again. I said, now I know you're following me. Right. What are you up to? He's like, I'm just waiting for a manager to kick your stupid ass out of the store. I'm like, okay, I got a little more shopping to do, so try to keep up, right? So, so I'm going around. I'm filling a shopping cart with, you know, probably $75 worth of stuff, maybe, various things. And I go to the checkout, and now he's managed to get a couple of managers and about a dozen employees in all, right? And there is a line that, you know, you're supposed to wait in, you know, COVID style, 6 feet apart, whatever, to use the self-checkout machines. Yeah. And, you know, I just waited for one to be available and walked past the line and went up to it. And now they're yelling and screaming at me. They have me surrounded. One of them was like, we're going to call the cops. Go ahead. Because I know in Fairfax County where I live, police don't enforce COVID regulations. Okay. So you call all of them that you want to call the chief of police and ask them to come down here and personally remove me. Right. I'm just going about my business. Now, these guys are really distracting. Okay. I'm trying to ring up my stuff. And what I didn't notice was that, you know, the machine kind of jammed. So, you know, there was some pop-up window I needed to respond to for some item. And because these guys are so distracting, I'm just running through, you know, run something over the scanner and put it in the bag. And I bagged up my whole order and actually didn't ring anything up. And I saw this at the last minute, but, you know, I got a dozen people surrounding me and screaming at me, and a manager, you know, claiming that police are on the way and all this kind of stuff. And I just figured, well, I'm just leaving. So I stole the entire order. And the funny thing about that, yeah, I just rolled my cart out of there, just full bagged everything, right? No receipt, nothing. And I walked right past these idiots. And think about this for a minute, okay? You got a dozen Home Depot employees watching everything that you're doing, and they can't figure out that you're stealing. That's asshole tax, man. You know. So I just, you know, and nobody pointed at the bag. Nobody said, hey, you know, you didn't bring that. Nobody. They were all concerned with there's no mask on my face. OK, well, you know, if that's your priority, then I'm going to shop here regularly because it's a good deal.
Speaking of shopping, one of your points was learn how to recognize globalist tags. And monikers. I think that's something that someone who's less inclined to draw attention could make powerful decisions with their buying dollars.
If you hear the word sustainable, don't pay attention. I mean, if sustainable is in the directive you're reading, just that's a good thing not to do.
Well, here's the thing. I just have to jump in on John. We know that, you know, CO2 is whatever, carbon's bad, and now nitrogen and soil is bad. But I'm like, until you take care of the chemtrails that you're spraying on top of everybody, shut the fuck up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I did a post on that. That's like the proper response to climate change. And if anybody wants to read that, it's estateartistry.com/blog. I do a lot of humorous satire.
It's good. Yeah, you've got to check out John's website, estateartistry.com. And then go check out it's under the blog tab. You'll get an earful and a bellyful and point dogging to videos that other people produce with just great content. If you want to take the shortcut, the streamline to the finish line, so to speak, the zip line, John's blog really is full of those kind of details along with some humor. So take it away, John.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to point out the idiocy of this whole thing, just how absolutely absurd it is. You know, they're trying to tell us that, you know, that somehow the car you drive is going to stop the planet from rotating, or, you know, we can't have elemental gases anymore because, you know, fuck the fact that you can't eliminate them. I mean, if you're reading the right information, you'll learn that in terms of geologic time, the CO2 level of the planet is the lowest it's ever been, and they want to eliminate it further. Well, if you, you know, have a, you know, like a, a, a biosphere and you have a plant in it and you take the CO2 out, everybody knows what happens to the plant, right? And if you're in that biosphere, that plant is producing, you know, oxygen, and you'll die too. So it's ridiculous on its face.
It's ludicrous. It makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, they're going to point at Venus and say, we don't want to be like that. Well, I don't go to Venus, okay? And I don't see Venus here. And just, you know, just shut up. But I mean, there's a problem with ignoring them, because they continue their activities. You know, the WEF, I call it the WTF.
I love that.
You know, the what the fuck organization. Because, you know, these guys, remember who you're dealing with. You have to respect your enemy here. They have all the money and all the resources in the world and all the influence that you'll never have. And they are convincing a lot of people. They are writing laws and treaties and things. I mean, if we don't stop these guys, we have to pay attention to what they're doing. They're leaving us no choice. If we just allow this to continue, they're going to recruit armies of people to force us into all kinds of head holes we don't want to stick our head into. And, you know, I don't want to be in that position. So I'm putting a stop to it now. I'm drawing attention to what they're saying because it's garbage. I did a whole book report on, well, actually somebody else did it. I republished it because it was awesome. You know, is that Klaus Schwab book that, you know, the Great Reset. There's so many logical fallacies in that. It's just horseshit from cover to cover.
We can't, it's not enough to sit at home and say, ohm. I mean, I get it.
That, yeah, you can't, you know, you can't ignore it anymore. Even if you know that it's garbage and, you know, you just don't want to pay attention to it because it's garbage, you have to pay attention to it because they're going to start taxing you for leaving, you know, chemical footprints wherever you go. The majority of the money you make goes in the pockets of these fools, and they're taxing the shit out of you on everything that means nothing.
That's why I had a website, Ask Why Before You Comply.
Right. .com,
because you really need to be looking at what is going on instead of just accepting that they have your best interests at heart, because they don't. It's clear.
Yeah. Like if you're buying a product that says it's a smart product, it's a dumb product. Don't buy it. It means don't buy it. Smart means dumb. Okay. This is how they do with us with the vocabulary. You know, they turn things on their heads. They change definitions. Up is down, left is right. You know, so do that back. You know, if you see eco-friendly, just think pollution, all right? Because one of the effects of all this mask production is showing up in the Great Pacific garbage patch and the shorelines of every beach. You know, we have we throw a lot of stuff in the ocean, which, you know, probably isn't a great idea. But this is producing tons and tons and tons of garbage. And this is pollution and landfill. I mean, it's everywhere. I see these disgusting masks everywhere I go on the ground.
It was so dangerous, John. Wouldn't there have been biohazard bins everywhere so you could throw your dangerous contaminated thing in the bin?
Yeah.
But no, they're in parking lots and sewers and in the forests and in the oceans.
Yeah. Now. Why weren't all the Avengers wearing masks in their latest movie? You know? Oh, because they're superheroes, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
Right. But, you know, if you're on TV, you can't have a mask on your face because nobody will pay attention to you. Right. You'll look stupid. But what about the disease? You know, apparently, if you're a news reporter, you don't get COVID.
Right.
You know, some of them will put them on, but you know, whatever. It's only important if, you know, it's like Fauci said, it's more to fool you than anything else. I mean, this came right out of his mouth.
Right. And he's, you know, if people would just look outside of Facebook, outside of YouTube, go to bitchute.com, BITCHUTE. I tell you all the time, guys, go to BitChute. You'll see content that you won't normally see. And some of that includes Fauci admitting and laughing at you.
There's no money in creating videos with COVID misinformation. Who's paying people to do this? I mean, nobody, right? This is just man on the street stuff. And I'll trust a man on the street over a newscaster any day because that guy's there. I don't look at my cell phone to check the weather. I look out the fucking window. Yeah. Right.
And there's alternative sources, guys. And sorry, John, but let me just say this, guys, if you're not looking for other information, you're operating in a tunnel, a tube, a lack of information. And this at best, it's misinformation.
This is a prison of your own construction, and you didn't realize you were doing it. But every time you subscribe to something, every time I notice this constantly. If I got to go to a webpage, read an article, I got to log into it. You know, I got a fat book of passcodes. This is all to tie information and choices and demographics directly to you. And they know more about you than they know enough about you to be able to predict your every move. And this information is marketable. And it's why, you know, it's why Facebook exists and all that. So, you know, don't press the like button. Don't press the dislike button.
Why? They already know. If you've if you've paused to look at a video, they know you paused to look at the video. Who cares if you press the like button? Who cares if you make a comment? They already know enough about you to write a freaking book about you.
And,
so who cares?
And you're still just as unimportant as ever. Nobody cares what your opinion is, right? So why are you going to go ahead and add your opinion to something?
Because I'm going to fight with you on this. Because the people that still have a set of you-know-whats and a spine will put out information in the comments, in the chats. They will say things I learn from. I copy, I paste, I learn.
Yeah, I do that too.
People they're bold, they're honest, and they're saying what they know to be true, far beyond what that video was. And I appreciate that. Those are stand-up guys too.
But if you're doing that on YouTube, your comments aren't showing up because you're being shadow banned.
That's not true, because people respond to my comments.
Well, mine are being shadow banned. I'm told by a little pop-up window that comes up and says, we're not going to post your comment, ha-ha, fool.
I'm sorry to hear that.
You use this key word that we don't like. We're banning words.
I appreciate that you go through that. I'm sorry about it. I'm not surprised.
Well, I don't go through it because I don't look at YouTube. I mean, if I want to fix a toilet, there's a great video on YouTube for it. But that's about all it's good for. I'm not going there for information.
I really want people to ante up, to speak up. Stop being afraid to make a comment, to share your experience. Stop cowering in the fucking corner.
I agree with that.
Barbara's looking at you. It's too late, y'all.
I agree with that philosophy and attitude, but this is not a war that you can fight on their playing ground.
We ain't fighting nobody's war. We're trying to help each other. If I have an experience, which I did with somebody who touched me, poisonous motherfucker, I'm going to share that so people know. That's what other people are doing. You got to share your experience, people. And then those comments and those chats, those matter. They are changing lives.
They're gonna probably eliminate comments for this very reason. And while you can use them to your advantage, go ahead and use them. I mean, I certainly do. But you know, it depends. I guess your experience will depend on what you say and where you post. So you know,
I back up the posts you make. You don't even know it. I do. I see your posts. I back your shit up. I mean, I think it matters. That is still free speech to me. And if we're not exercising it, you might as well fucking put masking tape on your mouth.
Well, you know, that's how I marketed my book to begin with. I was just posting the title and what it was in comment sections. And now I've circled the planet 7 times. I get hundreds and hundreds of requests because I give them away, hundreds of requests a day. And it's a whole job just answering people, but I do it.
I know it is, John, and I'm behind you, and you have no idea. You don't even know what my name is up there on BitChute. But
I've got another.
We have to support each other. I'm not looking for accolades. I'm telling you, we need to encourage people to speak up because it matters. Those comments make a difference in people's lives. Or you wouldn't have even had the exposure for your book that you have. If you couldn't make comments on videos, you wouldn't have had the exposure. It matters.
I've got a couple other things that I shared that I thought were really clever. Like, there's a whole connection to cellular networks and 5G and everything that I won't get into right now, but it's a serious one. You know, these frequencies are genotoxic and cytotoxic, and they cause problems, right? So, if you have a job, for example, and you're working in a strip mall, some retail location that has a gigantic mega cell tower on top of it, you're going to get leukemia, and it's not going to take long. All right. So don't work in places like that, right? Don't let these things go up, but there's not much you can do to stop them, right? Like, I could tell you how to destroy them with $5, but you'll probably go to jail for 10 years. Yeah. Yeah.
You'll end up in jail. Don't do it.
Yeah. But, you know, if you're ballsy and you want to just pour gas on them, on the insulation when of those wires that go up the towers, as soon as it melts, they'll go up like a Christmas tree and you can be gone just after throwing a match. But I didn't say that.
No, not at all.
Yeah, but you know, there's a price to pay for that. Now you got a dead spot and you got to deal with it, but hey, you know, you're healthier. Here's the thing though. There's a fellow that would go around. He was very clever and I got to give him a props for this because it was really cool. He would go around in what looked like a telecommunication worker's uniform and he just threw something together like a Halloween costume. You know, he wore a reflective jacket and a hard hat and he made up these official looking stickers that warn of radiation from, you know, a tower that was under construction. So he would find out, you know, there's probably a way you can look up where they're putting up towers. And if he saw one being built, he would go around door to door and pretend to be an employee of the telecom that was erecting the cell tower. And he would just give you a pamphlet that warned of cell tower radiation and explain to you that his job was just to inform the public of, you know, the inherent risks with what we're doing over here. And that's it. You know, I just have to give you this. You don't have to pay attention to it if you don't want to. It's just my job. And he made these stickers that I don't have a sample, but I put it on my blog in an article. I just thought it was really fun. These stickers look like really official stickers. That explain, you know, in a pictogram that the cell radiation is dangerous and there's a little information on them, but they're small, you know, they're like, you know, a little square thing. And he had thousands of these printed up and he would put them on the equipment and he would put them on, you know, he would put them in places where, you know, a person didn't know any better would think, oh, you know, this is legit, right? And it is, and it's not. I mean, he's not lying to you, but he's found a really creative way to get somebody's attention. And I'm sure that the, you know, whatever company was building that stuff got a lot of phone calls about this guy that, you know, was handing out these pamphlets, and they would probably tell him, yeah, he's not one of our guys. But damage done, you know.
Awareness raising is only everything.
Yeah,
it's everything. And speaking of which, I see that you have on your list. Buy a bullhorn and use it.
Oh, I've had so much fun with that. There's some battery operated bullhorns that you can buy. Mine's made by a company called Pile, and trust me, it's loud. And it just runs on like 4D cell batteries, and so it's a handheld thing. It doesn't have a microphone, but you can buy an accessory or a different model that has a microphone. But it's good enough just to have a, you know, a thing that you can carry around. And you know, when you need it, when you need to be loud, this is a great thing to have. And it's got some things on it, like, you know, it's got a feature where you could record a short message and it'll play on a loop. It's got a police siren, you know, and you know, one of the things that I like to do at Home Depot when the lines were forming was there were several videos out around that time that exposed the nature of the vaccine genocide and just various things that were really, really well done and informative. And I would sit in the parking lot and play that on this car stereo as loud as I could, right in front of the line, because I got a handicap license plate, and I would pull up and rather than stand in the line, I'd sit there and I'd play that. Or if I had it on my cell phone, I could play it through this bullhorn and just stand in the fucking line. You know, well, you know, when they put up stanchions and everything, I just unhook them and drop them on the ground. You know, I kick them over. You know, I'm not a piece of beef you can just corral into the slaughterhouse. I'm not going to, you know, line up for that. And so, you know, screw you and your amusement park, you know, setups.
Stand here.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, one time, like there's this, we got a Wegmans, right? Wegmans is just full of sheeple, right? And I hate going to this store. I mean, it's a nice store and everything, but man, I mean, Wegmans, have you been to a Wegmans?
Long time ago.
Oh my God! You know what don't they sell in this place? It's supposed to be a grocery store, but you can buy furniture in Wegmans. And it's ridiculously overpriced. I mean, you want to pay $20 for anything like tube of toothpaste, go to a fucking Wegmans. But it's full of people because they put them smack dab in the middle of these subdivisions, right? So everybody in the Wegmans is masked up. It's like where they all go. And so
Hold on. We should let people know you're in Virginia.
Yeah, I'm in
Virginia. Because
I'm in Lorton, Virginia, and about 20 miles south of DC.
Virginia has been forefront of stupid,
off and on. I mean, there's waves of it, right? You know, it comes and it goes.
The governor said something, or no, the Department of Health guy. Well, I forget now. As soon as that thing becomes legal, we're gonna put it in everybody.
Yeah, I don't know who's the governor these days. I don't even pay attention.
It's Virginia, so they're especially people oriented.
Yeah, I don't.
That's where you are.
I don't watch television. I got a radio in my car. I never turn it on. I don't listen to anything. I don't listen to anything.
Oh yeah.
You know, if I need information, I go and get it, and that's what everybody ought to do. You'll figure out how to do that after a little while. But
go to John's blog. Trust me.
Yeah, go to my. I mean, you know,
homework for you.
I put a. I don't encourage people. You know, I don't encourage anybody to believe me. You know, I'll put out some evidence, and you know, I'm not going to say the same thing like, you know, beat a dead horse over and over again. I used to, you know, throw up the number of deaths as of today religiously, and I don't do that anymore because everybody knows. This is a big important point here that I want to make, that you are not in the minority if you object to this stuff. You're in the majority, okay? Most people understand, and you are not alone. And if you pick any crowd of people, I don't care who's in it, somebody's going to agree with you if you stood up and you just made a scene. They might not tell you, but I do it all the time, and people are always like slap me on the back. I mean, I have guys, you know, just walking around the BJ's when this thing was hot and heavy, where I was the one without a mask, and another guy that I saw without a mask, he goes, "Hey, I just want to shake your hand for not covering your face." I was like, "Okay, you know."
Yep. So, what was going on at Wegmans? What'd you do?
Well, that's where you have the dots on the floor that you're supposed to stand on and queue up in, and, you know, keep distance between, So all these fools, if you can imagine this layout there, you know, towards the front of the store, there's the self-help registers, which, you know, I could say a lot about those. They're just ridiculous, but I use them all the time because I like to bag up my own stuff the way I like to bag it up, so that I don't get like 100,000 of those bags. And now they're charging 5 cents per bag for plastic bags in Virginia.
Wow.
Yeah. Screw you, man. You know, for a half a gram of polystyrene, it's 5 cents. Wow. Boy, I wish I was a guy collecting that pile. Don't pay for bags. But so there's a fairly wide aisle. I'll say it's maybe 10 or 12 feet in front of the checkouts, and behind that is all the aisles with all the food on it and everything. And the people that are lining up for the self-checkout area are queuing up on the other side, like 12 feet away from the registers, waiting their turn for a terminal to be available. Honestly, on the day that this happened, I didn't even see them because they're standing, they're queuing up in an aisle. Right. And you see a wide open aisle with nobody in it. And there's a checkout to the right. And I just walk straight up to the checkout. Well, obviously, this pissed off a bunch of sheeple that are standing waiting for their turn. But none of them had the bones to, you know, to speak up. So they have an employee for that. So the employee was this guy that came over in his mask and everything. And he's like, excuse me, sir. The line forms over there. I said, no, listen, this is where the checkout is. I don't see a line. I don't know what that line's doing, but they're not lining up for this because it's way the fuck over there. So I've already started. I'm not going to stop. I'm not, you know, going to capitulate and take all my stuff out of the bags and go stand that stupid sheep row. And so, you know, what? Are you kidding? Go away. Right. Well, sir, you have to. I don't have to anything, you know. What are you going to do about it? And what could he do, right? I mean, we either have a fist fight or he just walks off and shrugs with some kind of glance towards the disgruntled people standing on their dots that he's ineffectual. So that's what he was forced to do. Right? I mean, what else are you going to do?
Disgruntled people standing on their dots.
Yeah, they're all really upset with me, but I don't care because I don't live with any of them. And I'm never coming back to this store unless I absolutely have to. It's the last fucking grocery store in the world with a dozen eggs. I mean, you know, I hate going to this place. It makes me nervous because it's like we're walking around and all these fools are masked up and you just know you're so outnumbered. It's like walking through Germany as the only Jew in 1942.
Damn.
You know, with a big sign that says, come get me.
At first it was, and here we are 2.5 years into this bullshit. And there are more, hopefully more people that have grown a pair and have learned how to, you know, stand up straight and actually speak, use their voices. But it really still takes each one of us to show other people how it's done.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's really funny, nothing to do with civil disobedience, but, you know, I live on the end of a 6-mile road that goes through the forest, and it's only like enough for a couple of cars to go past. It's like 2-lane road. And there's a bike path and there's a lot of bikers. And every once in a while, there'll be like a cycle club that'll just block the road with their damn 10 speeds and the bike pass over there. And I can't figure out what the deal is. I mean, maybe there's a reason for it. Maybe, you know, they don't like the twisty, turny bike path. They like the nice pavement or something, right? But boy, you want to freak them out, man, with that bullhorn. I drive past them and they're all, you know, head down biking, trying to keep a single file when none of them can really seem to do it. I'll drive past them, you know, and a bike pass over here, you know, watch them fall off. What's wrong with the bike path?
Yeah, on a smaller scale, I noticed that you recommend people carry a small air horn.
Oh, an air horn is great. They make these little air horns that, you know, they're like one. Pocket size. And, you know, just carry this thing around if you're expecting, you know, a bunch of COVID blockades and whatever. And every time they try to issue instructions to you, blow the horn. And it's really loud. I mean, it's very loud. And it will freak people out. Everybody within, you know, earshot of that will turn and stare and wonder what the hell you're doing. And you just look at the guy and go, I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said. Can you say it again? And when he starts again, you know, and it's like, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. You know, there's something going on here. I'm not sure what it is. You what do you want again? I mean, you don't have to do much more than that.
It's pretty effective. Oh, goodness. You did mention something about, excuse me. Removing barricades or something like that comes to mind. I'm sorry, I was laughing too hard to think.
Well,
barriers.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously there's a lot of ways that, you know, that people have thought up to extend the effect of public hysteria and fear. And it doesn't matter how creative they get. I'm not affected by it, and I'm going to object to it.
Good.
And if I got to walk even 5 feet out of my way because of something you've erected to make me do that, I'm just going to break it. I'm going to step over it, around it, push it over, you know, somehow disrespect it. Even in my book, you know, I'm aware of neurolinguistic programming techniques, right? And one of the people that I had edit my book, Lonnie helped out with it a little bit, but the principal person pointed out to me that it's like, you should capitalize COVID. And I said, no, Larry, I'm not going to do that. And I'll tell you why. Because you noticed it, that tells me it's working. I'm repeatedly disrespecting that term by printing it in lowercase letters. And it's not an effect that most people are going to recognize that I'm doing to them, but I do it for a reason, because it deserves no respect. And I'm not going to capitalize it, and I'm not going to put it in fancy letters or anything, because it's not a thing. It's a fiction. Okay. And if you see that over and over and over again, the neurolinguistic effect is kind of subliminal, but it instills that disrespect in you, seeing it over and over again. And he said, oh, that's clever. I like that. You know, he didn't even really realize what I was doing, but there was a purpose behind it, you know.
It's a good thing to do that. There are subtle ways and there are obviously some louder ways, but whatever way you want to do, guys, find a way to stand up and speak out, because other people, like, you know, they've shaken your hand and they've also thanked me, you know.
And don't put money in their pocket. I mean, you know, I'm not sure everybody knows this, but don't give to cancer research. And I'm going to tell you why, because it's a very sad story when, you know, they promote cancer research with a bunch of leukemia kids in a hospital ward or something, and you feel really bad and you want to put money in the bucket or send a check or whatever. In my work, everything leads back to cancer research. What is cancer research? It's how to kill tissue. And everything, like, I've read decades of how-to publications on the construction of these vaccines. I can tell you how they're manufactured, all the obstacles that they had to overcome to stabilize them and everything else. It is miles and miles of hieroglyphics. It took months to even, you know, be able to decipher a lot of the information in these things. It is not light reading, but I uncovered all kinds of details of that, stuff you wouldn't believe, right? I understand what's in these things. I understand how they're made. I understand how to disrupt them. And everything that they learned was based on cancer research. Every trail led back to a guy doing cancer research, and he's figuring out how to kill you. He's figuring out how to kill living tissue. That's all this is doing. If you want to eliminate cancer, I can cure cancer. So many people know how to cure cancer. Everyone that's got up and been vocal about it has been silenced or jailed or put in a mental institution or somehow impoverished and prevented from telling you. But, you know, it is caused by refined white sugar and refined white flour. And if you have cancer and you eliminate those things from your body, your cancer will disappear. You don't need chemotherapy. That's the way to speed your demise. I got a neighbor that lives right across the street from me, and stage 3 cancer. And all she did was no chemotherapy. Never mind. And all she did was just change her diet. She's fine now. She's out there gardening like every day. She's rabid about what she puts in her mouth because, you know, like I said before, disease begins at the end of a fork, right? I love that statement. That's by Courtney Cox, by the way. I stole that from him. He wrote the COVID con, and he's a friend in the Isle of Man. And we exchange some emails every now and again. He's a very cynical cat, you know, very funny book. You know, that's where it is. I mean, everything causes cancer. We kind of know that, right? Because there's a lot of toxicity around us. We live in it daily, but don't give these people money because they're not trying to cure it.
No, it's the biggest industry in the world behind petroleum.
Yeah. If cancer research went away, you know how much money that would take out of the pockets of the people trying to eliminate, methane and CO2 and, you know, make you drive, I don't know, unicycles.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they're laughing. They're mocking you to your face in every major movie that you see, every commercial. It's just, you know, you don't see it because you're not in on the joke, really. But a lot of people are. I trust me, I am. And that's why I don't look at anything they produce, because it's all trash.
Probably one of the hardest things for me is a set of assumptions. And so I kind of wanted to draw our show, wrap it up with this. It can be easy to assume that a doctor knows what they're talking about when, if you actually look, they don't. They have 3 hours of nutrition ever in medical school.
I could explain this in a nutshell. Doctors are not the people you think they are. They're not educated to the extent you think they are. A typical doctor has the equivalency in education of any bachelor program in any undergraduate college, plus about 7 years of on-the-job supervised training. That is the extent. They're not called doctors because they have a doctorate. It is not the same amount of work you would need to achieve a doctorate in mathematics or physics or anything else, or engineering, right? They are undergrads that stop doing homework the minute they go into practice and complete their residency after that hazing program. And that's all it is. Everything that they've learned that is actually good for healing, a nurse knows. And that's first year medical student stuff. They don't read research. They don't go into labs. They don't make discoveries. In fact, they don't read anything except these compendiums that they're given when they're in practice that are made by Big Pharma that, you know, are akin to Highlights magazine in the dentist's office that your kid reads while he's waiting. There's nothing in there but headlines of garbage paid to publish research that they're supposed to repeat, and lots of advice on how to tell off patients that, you know, think they know something. So it's an honorary title. A doctor of medicine is an honorary title. Just like, I mean, you know, what's a dentist? He's a handyman for your teeth. A doctor is a car mechanic for the body, and not a good one.
Terrible. He's a drug pusher. They mask symptoms. They listen to what Big Pharma says.
Anybody who's seen the movie Idiocracy, you know, will know this reference.
Yeah. Right here.
Right. Watch Idiocracy and watch when that guy goes into the hospital for the first time feeling bad, and the gum chewing reception nurse is looking at a panel of buttons with pictograms on them, with people like this or like this or.
Yes. Like this,
and she's trying to figure out what button to press, and because he keeps rattling off symptoms, she can't pick, and she just like eventually picks the button that says, you know, crazy, you know, it's like a big question mark on the guy's forehead. That's what doctors do. They're, by the time they exit their training, they're experts in what pill to assign to a problem, and a diagnosis is not what's wrong with you. That is the doctor listening to your complaints and then repeating them back to you in Latin.
That's it, guys.
That is what it is. And there's a big book that if he's done a correct diagnosis, it's also written in that book. But there are no markers for mental illness, for example, right? They create these diseases to explain things. COVID is vaccine injury. That's what it is. Get it straight. There was never any COVID. There's no virus. There's no pathogen.
What do you say to the people that lost their sense of taste and had a fever? And
you ever had a cold and you can't breathe through your nose? Well, then you lose your taste and your smell at the same time. That's normal.
So they relabeled a flu. This is basically the flu.
It's a bait and switch. And they took cold and flu and included a new symptom, likely death. And you bought it like a bad used car. All of a sudden, cold and flu is death. Cold and flu are not illnesses. You know, I write about this in my book. It's a forced expiratory process that you would undergo if you were in a sterile bubble your entire life and only took in from the outside food to eat. You would have this process. It's not attributable to anybody else. You know, I mean, you know, I go to a lot of effort to make this plain to people, but I can't do that now, obviously, for time. But read the book and
please get his book, guys. You know. Please get it. It's deeply researched, and John is only making bigger and bigger impact on a global scale. You can find him on SGT Report. He was interviewed there, and then Stu Peters, STEW Peters, RedMedia.com. And John is doing more with other like-minded individuals. So if you want the shortcut, the crib notes, so to speak, he's going to point dog you to some videos from BitChute that will really sum up that particular thought or
there's
topic.
There's no firewall anymore between me and the headlining doctors you see on all the rebel sites. I mean, these people, I have their phone numbers and we talk, and I'm in a couple of working groups. You know, I respect a lot of these people, and a lot of them I don't at all, because they just don't know what they're talking about. But, you know, we're fixing that at the only pace that we can.
Guys, that's the science to trust, not the other bullshit they've been feeding you.
Yeah, science is asking questions. You don't trust science, you do science.
Yeah, you don't push out untested experimental 4 different varieties this week on people and see what happens. You know, guys, you don't have to be a guinea pig any longer. If you're around people that are, they're probably not going to speak your language, nor you theirs. And you might have to pull out some tough love or separate yourself from this, because
shunning works.
That was the thing I wanted to close with.
Yeah. Shunning works. I mean, just look at the Amish people.
Let's talk about what shunning means.
Once you, you know, you're a teenager, you got to make a choice. Okay. You do your Rumspringer, you test the English way of life. And if you can't you know, say no to all that stuff, that's it. Your parents won't talk to you for the rest of your life. That's harsh. You know, that's really harsh. And believe me, they are militant about that. If you decide that, you know, you're going to be a rebel inside the Amish community, you're not going to be in the Amish community. So let's just take a page from their book. And if these people want to vaccinate themselves and whatever, it's a problem that's unfortunately going to solve itself.
More people are living with regret because they listened to that person and did it because my mom said, my dad said, my friend said, said. Those people aren't smart enough to tell you what to do with your body.
If you could read the emails I get from every country in the world telling these stories, I mean, it's hard to read that stuff. People are losing everybody. For different reasons, and a lot of them to death. And, you know, your children are dead. Your wife is dead. Your grandma's dead. Everybody's sick. They're going to the hospital. They don't come out. Don't go to hospitals. You know, you don't need doctors.
No,
you don't need them. They're not doing anybody any favors.
No, guys, get John's book. What Now? Recovering from a Tragic Mistake. Go over and visit his blog, which is cleverly under estateartistry.com under the blog tab, so that you can really catch up on the things that are the latest and greatest news that empowers you with information. So if somebody that you love wants to fight back, know that you know more than they do and you can show them. And if they're not willing to listen, you have 2 feet and you can walk away. Because it isn't worth the effort anymore to try and convince those who are willfully ignorant, willfully blind, and want you to follow that game plan. It's going to kill you if you do. It's going to make you real sick otherwise. John, any final words?
Cal Bolinet, organizer of the Anarchon. If you're listening, this is what you missed.
Yeah. There's a lot more, guys. Thanks for tuning in to How to Deal with the Dumbass. The first number one way to do it is not be one yourself. Recognize what's going on and take action accordingly. Look out for yourself because we need you here. We need you happy, healthy, and having a good time.
Don't put up with horseshit.
That's it.
All horseshit.
They know. Thanks, John.
No, thank you.
Glad to have you. Well, there you have it. Lots of clever ideas. Be sure that you find John's website at estateartistry.com. Click on the blog tab and you'll find wonderful content, enlightening humor, humorous takes on some really crappy things that these idiots are trying to do. It makes no sense. And it's time for us to stand up, speak out, and push back. In the nicest of ways you can do, I don't know, you could just pull a poster down or something and feel good about yourself. I'm telling you, do something. Action creates clarity, and it also empowers you. Share this episode and the rest of the series, How to Deal with a Dumbass, with those you love and those you love to make laugh. I'm Lonnie Ray, and I'm out for now, but I'll be back.